Welcome back. Thanks for being with us. I'm Todd Zwillick. House Republicans unveiled their gigantic tax bill yesterday, calling it a once-in-a-generation chance to overhaul the code and cut taxes. Well, it's a bill that's really about one thing and one thing only: money. $1.5 trillion is the best guess right now, and that means that the people who want a piece of the action, they're mobilizing.
An army of lobbyists will come to protect the special interest provisions and to derail tax reform. And when that army comes, we must be able to count on the foot soldiers of the conservative movement to see this thing through.
That was House Speaker Paul Ryan back in October at the Heritage Foundation. An army of lobbyists is coming, he says. And that army and their clients are now busy pouring through the GOP tax bill to see if the loopholes they like are protected, or maybe even better, where they can punch out some new ones. It's a moment in Washington where one conversation can be worth billions of dollars. So, what's it like to be a tax lobbyist in Washington right now? Our next guest would know. Bob Schneider spent two decades as a lobbyist in areas ranging from foreign policy to national security and trade. He's currently a writer at Chicago Now. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Bob, when you thumbed through $1.5 trillion of tax cuts and tax overhaul from the Republicans, what do you see?
Well, I see a fantasy bill that the Republicans are putting forward. I heard yesterday from a trade association that are builders, and they said, did the president and the Republicans like the 2008 recession so much that they want to have another one? Because they're gutting entire industries in favor of tax cuts for major corporations.
Okay, well, let's take the builders, for instance. If the builders think that, I'm thinking that they might not like new caps on the mortgage interest deduction, right? Make it harder to get a tax break for paying your mortgage. So what happens when the Builders Association gets its lobbyists in a room and says, get up to Capitol Hill and get this thing changed?
Well, they head to Capitol Hill. And here's the problem that the lobbyists have. The chairman's markup of the bill is going to happen on Monday. Why Monday? Why is it are the Republicans trying to jam this through in a couple of weeks? Well, the reason is that Speaker Ryan is concerned about that army of lobbyists. And what those army of lobbyists are doing is they're heading up to Capitol Hill, and they're sitting down and having frank discussions with people that they've supported in the past. Home builders and the construction and housing industry have poured millions and millions of dollars into Capitol Hill over the years. And they're sitting down, and there's a special dialogue that goes on inside the office when the door is closed. And one of them is you sit there and you look the guy in the eye and they say, look, this is a defining issue for us. And what those words mean is either you come around to our way of thinking, or we're pouring the money that we've poured into you over the years into your opponent. And he will listen.
So, Bob, what you're suggesting is when that lobbyist gets with that member of Congress, they don't have to say, vote for this and we'll give you $50,000. No, they say, they basically imply, we've given you a lot of money for your election campaigns. You and I both know that. And if you don't do what we need, the spout turns off.
Well, even worse, the words, this is a defining issue, is lobbyist code talk for, we're going to support your opponent. In some respects, this bill is designed to do exactly that. As I got looking at this bill and I saw how many groups are under attack, and these are well-heeled groups, it almost seems like it's a shakedown bill. And shakedown bills are designed to be negotiated. Here's what the congressman will say. He'll say, look, I've got to go against my leadership on that. In this case, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your help means I want money. And there'll be a dance that goes on, and they'll come to a dollar amount. Now, I can give you an example, if you want, of how that dance will go. There's a rule in the House of Representatives that money may not be discussed on the Hill in a congressman or senator's office.
Right.
It is the most broken rule in the world. They will sit down and they will say, well, you know, your group has been good to us in the past. how much do you think a group like yours could raise for us? And lobbyists, knowing the rule, will say, oh, I don't know, somewhere between 30 and 35,000. And the congressman will say, maybe even as high as 40,000. And the lobbyists will say, that's doable or that's not doable. Whatever number you come up with, it's a deal.
Bob, there are loopholes all over the tax code. Look, we talked about the mortgage interest deduction and second homes, but there are lots of loopholes. We've seen loopholes for hybrid cars, different kinds of fuel that you can extract from paper mills and switchgrass, make it into ethanol, get a tax break for that. What's your favorite loophole in the tax code that just might have a lobbyist trying to keep it open this week?
Well, actually, there's there's one that's my absolute favorite, and that is the taxpayer-subsidized business jets.
Jets? Like private jets?
Yes, private jets.
Explain.
Well, if you take delivery on a private jet or any private aircraft, as long as it's new, brand new, between now and the start of 2019, the taxpayers will very graciously pay for that jets and its operation for 5 years through tax deductions. It's called bonus depreciation. And, you know, the business jet is a business asset as long as you use it 50% for business. Well, that gives you 50% of the time to use it for playing, too. I think that's awfully generous, don't you?
I think it's generous. Bob, you're the pro here. Play tax lobbyist and make your best case to the congressman that the bonus depreciation tax break on private jets just has to stay open.
I would go to, let's say, a congressman and a senator from the state of Kansas, where most of the business jets in the United States are manufactured. And I would say, hey, look, we employ 1 million workers in the United States, and by golly, we've got the Brazilians who have developed a very good business jet program biting at our heels. We need to keep all of those people employed. And we think that the best way to do that is through extending bonus depreciation. And the congressman will take a look at, well, he'll hear the words 1 million jobs and you have his interest. And of course, a little bit later on in the conversation will turn to, boy, what a tough re-election I've got. And, you know, I'm going to need some help. And then, you know, they'll say, well, at the appropriate time and in the appropriate way, we will help you. Deal's done. It's done. And, you know, the idea behind the deduction was not a bad one. In 2008, business jet sales went to nothing. Nothing. And these companies were going to have to start laying off people, if even stay in business. So the bonus depreciation was a temporary program to help during an economic crisis. Here's a rule in Washington. There's nothing more permanent than a temporary program.
Well, Bob, it's the kind of politics that in a way is maybe refreshing. Maybe it's so transactional and so cutthroat that it's easy to understand, you know, billions of dollars at stake in loopholes in exchange for re-election money, the kind of politics that people can wrap their heads around if they understand it. So I got to let you go, Bob. But when Paul Ryan says, like he said at the top, that conservative foot soldiers are going to have to defend against this army of lobbyists coming to Capitol Hill, what's going through the minds of Republican lawmakers?
Well, what's going through the minds of that one is that's a very direct threat. And they have a provision in that tax bill to stir up the evangelicals. And what they've done is they've taken down the barrier of the Johnson Amendment, which prohibits religious organizations from choosing political candidates. And in Republican politics these days, it used to be the corporations that drive things. Now it's the evangelicals. And when he talks about that army, he's talking about unleashing that army. And that's not an army that especially Southern state members of Congress who are big on deficit reduction. Speaker Ryan has threatened his own people with that statement.
The Republican tax cut bill is out, $1.5 trillion worth. The loopholes are at stake. The lobbyists are mobilized, and the threats have been issued. Bob Schneider with Chicago Now. Bob, what a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.